Welcome to Small Business Big Network, the podcast for small business owners who want big results from their networking. I'm Liz Drury, a freelance voiceover artist who knows that if you're not working, then networking could help. Blake Coldwell is one of the co-founders of Brotherhood UK, an organisation that tries to help people be the best that they can be. Blake was recording his side of the conversation in his garden, and you'll hear a very lively robin singing in the background. Blake says that when he goes networking, he doesn't like to talk about business, at least not at first. Thanks very much for being my guest on the podcast today, Blake.
Yeah, brill. Thank you. Appreciate you having me here.
Now, you're part of a fairly new venture called Brotherhood UK, which we'll talk about in a minute. But I wanted to talk first about your background and what your career journey has been. I think it's been had a fairly sporty theme. Is that right?
Yes, I think throughout. Obviously, I've always had that engagement within sport. And I think through that, you can do so many positive things. And I think when I was younger, it was all about actually, can you play football? Where can you go with football? It was all what can you do with football?
Yeah.
And I think as I've gone on, you've sort of gone, oh, actually, it's not just football, it's sport as a whole. Mm-hmm. And you can actually make a positive impact within sport by doing other stuff to influence people. It's not just about them high professional role models.
Yes.
It's about the lower end stuff as well.
Yes.
Which has been quite important to me.
Yeah. Was sport something that you were good at school? Was that something that you've always enjoyed doing?
I wouldn't say. I think primary school and early secondary school, I wasn't that great. I was always quite a chubby kid. I think it was from probably year 9 onwards when I actually hit the adolescence where I started becoming actually better at it and actually started enjoying it a lot more because I was actually technically a lot better. And then I sort of progressed. I was quite a late progressor.
So what did you do after school? What was your next step?
So I went to college where I met sort of, business colleague, Tom, who's in this project with myself, met him at college. So I've known him 8-9 years, did a level 3 sport course there. And then strangely enough, went into sales. It wasn't all sport. It was me and Tom. He was like, do you fancy a job in sales, working, selling windows, doors, conservatories?
Yeah.
And sort of ended up doing that for a year. But it was, looking back, a really important pathway for me because actually learning them people skills, learning them, because I'm not a salesman. If someone says they don't want anything, I'm like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Whereas Tom's a little bit different. He's like, oh, actually, do you want this? Do you want that? But I think actually learning them people skills, actually how to speak to people, how to interact with people, especially when they don't want something that you're trying to sell because you're under pressure from your boss above. Mm-hmm. It's a very different environment to what I was used to anyway.
Yeah. So you did that for a year and then what happened after that?
I've been on quite a journey, to be fair. All my family live in Spain. Well, most of them, my dad, my sisters.
Right.
So I moved out there for a few months to play football. Ended up doing a bit of labouring with himself. I'll be honest, I couldn't hack it in the heat. I was training football 2-3 times a week and then played on sort of a Saturday. And then sort of, it didn't work out. So I sort of came back to England, took on that 9-to-5 office job working for a company called Cool Milk.
Mm-hmm.
Did that for sort of 6 months or so and then got an apprenticeship within Children's Services. And I've been there ever since, really, on my previous role, really.
Yeah. Now, I know that you've worked as a crisis intervention worker, haven't you, for Lincolnshire County Council. So how did that come about and how did you find it?
So it's with working Children's Services, it's sort of an extended rota on top of your day job. So it's not a full time role. So you just sort of put whenever you want to be on shift, whenever it suits your work life. And I found it really good, really challenging. I think it's sort of similar to the sales, it's an environment I wasn't used to. There's a lot of challenges that come with it. I think ultimately it's to keep young people safe until the sort of social worker become present and you're that sort of middle ground. So for me, it was really challenging, but I grew a lot of confidence within that because you're dealing with different families, you're dealing with different scenarios. And obviously every shift's a bit different, which I really enjoy.
Yeah. So tell me about Brotherhood now then. What is it and how did it get started?
Yeah, so they're sort of, at the minute I'm a coach for Brotherhood UK. There's Tom and Tristan as well. I think for myself, there's a vision about actually how can we help people. I think with myself, I've been in that 9-to-5 lifestyle. I think Tom has always been within hotels, always within the office work. And then obviously there's an educational background as well from Tristan where we can tell people within them settings are quite struggling and sometimes there isn't always that help there. Mm. There isn't always that support. So I think it initially came from that about actually how can we help people and how can it be affordable? It's not as a therapy-based stuff, but I think it can still follow that cognitive behavioural therapy model about actually how can you help people. So I think with Brotherhood UK, it's sort of hitting different elements within that lifestyle. So you've got your 18 plus where people within university settings are really struggling. I think there was a study the other year where 37% of students are actually experiencing anxiety.
Yeah.
They're experiencing them really that struggle because I think it goes from 0 to 100 and in university you sort of you've got deadlines. Mm-hmm. You're in that real professional background or environment where you try and hit targets constantly when it's not as intense at school.
Yeah.
So I think that's a real key area where we're trying to work because I think the university dropouts obviously increased as well where people are actually going, this isn't for me because I can't manage it.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest thing about uni is managing your time, managing your life.
Yeah.
Managing that social life balance as well because I think in university the big thing is like a lot of people go to uni just to get drunk, to go out, to actually have that experience, mm-hmm. which is great. But then what do you have on the other side of it of actually managing your degree? And I think a lot of people now are just going, I'll get to uni, get a 2-1, and then I'm done. And then mm-hmm. I can enjoy the other side of it. And then ultimately when they come out of that work, everyone's got the same degree. And potentially they've got the worse off degree because they haven't put in or managed their time as well. And I think another key area is that workplace where myself, I was in that 9-to-5 lifestyle mm-hmm. or 8-to-4. Where every single Sunday you dreaded getting up on the Monday. And I think it was that sort of anxiety of actually going into the workplace.
Yeah.
And I think when you're in there, it's quite daunting because you don't know who to speak to. You don't know where to come. I think there's been up to £6.2 billion lost within the workplace industry just because of sick leave, because of productivity. And I think it's a real big place to be because if people can actually enjoy going to work, and actually have that positive environment, then it could be a massive, massive change.
Absolutely.
And I think you've only got to look at some other European countries where that work lifestyle balance is a lot better. And you're seeing the mental health is a lot better as well.
Yeah.
So I think it just joins together. But obviously a lot of workplaces are reluctant because at the end of the day, if they need money coming in. So I think the management are seeing a little bit of change recently because I think there's been a massive increase in the mental health conversation the last mm-hmm. 5-10 years and potentially some management haven't actually seen this before.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So how long has Brotherhood been going now and who is it for? Is it, as the name suggests, is it just for men?
No. So I think we do have a men specific pathway. I think our university project is called Unity UK, so it's more tailored to travel, more tailored to education, because we appreciate some people might not agree with the terminology of Brotherhood, they might not relate to that, so we do have a separate pathway. I think Brotherhood UK is that sort of the unity, uniting communities together, actually bringing people within our community and sort of trying to help them. It isn't just for men. If a woman came in and said, can I do this? Can I do that? I think it's more the way of the thinking about how we want to improve people's lives is more tailored to men.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, I think you can relate a lot more to that sort of, to that voice.
Yeah. So what do you offer? What is it that you do for the people that come to you?
Yeah, so our main sort of bread and butter is our coaching pathway. So we've, at the minute, 3 different coaching pathways. One for educational based, so we have educational coaches who can sort of help with that university, that managing that lifestyle balance. They've actually had the living experience of being at uni, actually mm-hmm. they've gone through it themselves, That's not something I do because ultimately I haven't been through that. So it's like me telling you how to sort of run this podcast. I haven't done it, so I can't tell you how to do it. And then we do have that men specific, where we have people that potentially come in, they just maybe they've lost a bit of purpose and they've lost a bit of direction, and we just sort of set them on their way. And we sort of have a little habit study that we did in January, where actually people come in, they have three habits that they want to actually improve, and we study that about how can we link that to their life.
Yeah.
And are them habits actually real? And are they true to actually how do they want to progress? And then Tom leads a high performance pathway. So that's all around business. So we've had clients, for example, in Glasgow who have actually at that start point of building the business, because Tom's had that living experience of actually building a business and being successful with hotels, with different ventures, with lodge parks, and actually helping them going, all right, what minimal gains can we have to actually be successful in 6 months' time? And I think that's been really successful for the clients he's had in. And it's going really well from that aspect. We have lots of different things we can offer. It's not just a coaching pathway as well. I don't know if you've seen, we've set up a health cast. So we're meeting sort of then actually role models. So we met Andrew from the Traitors a few months ago and had that conversation about, all right, because I think the last few months he's sort of come out of the BBC, the Traitors, and gone, actually, right, this is actually quite overwhelming, this.
Yeah.
Because the things we were telling him and the things he was telling us, it was like, wow. Like, from the distance of 6 months, obviously, recording for the BBC, there's that gap of actually when it gets aired.
Yes.
So I think his life just went bang.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, how do you actually deal with that? And I think at the start of April, we've got a health cast booked in with James, the mental health PT, on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And that will sort of be around actually working with James in the gym. We're going to do a podcast or health cast around in the gym, speaking to him about how does he work out? How does it actually tailor him? Because I think we've noticed a lot of university students, they want to start the gym, they want to do loads of things, but they don't know why or don't know how.
Yeah.
And I think personal trainers cost so much. So if we can have an actual visual about how do other people train.
Yeah.
And they might go, oh, that's actually a little bit of me. And then we actually explain why they do it. So obviously everyone has their challenges. Why I work out and why you work out might be completely different. There might be a completely different purpose to that.
So what kind of issues do you find that people are coming to your coaches with?
I think it all depends on the individual. I don't think there's issues. Obviously people might see that as, but that's quite a negative thing to have an issue. I think it's just things that you can improve, things that you can actually have a pathway and set if you have a plan to go down there. So for example, if someone's just struggling with a purpose, actually finding what that purpose is, what are their interests, what do they do, what are their hobbies. I think it's quite a negative aspect or negative viewpoint if someone goes, oh, I've got this issue, because I think it goes back to your identity. I think a lot of people identify with their issue.
Yeah.
And they sort of go, oh, I'm Blake with anxiety. Whereas actually that's not my identity. That's just something I need to work on.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I'm seeing. A lot of people identify as an issue, or when actually we can just improve it, and we can actually go, what are the things we can work around it and actually build them bricks, have them stepping stones to actually go, that's not your identity. It might be a part of you, but what is your characteristics to actually have that as just something you can improve on the side?
Yeah. So let's have a little chat about the networking side of things now. Is networking something that you had experience of before you became part of Brotherhood or not?
For myself personally, no. Tom, I know Tom and Tristan have done a bit of networking before. I'm pretty new to it. I think I've been to a few different ones. I quite like the informal networking events. I don't like them when they're really formal. Because I think it's all about actually building that relationship. And I think if they're a formal setting, it's quite hard to do that.
Yeah. And so when you talk to people at networking events and you tell them about Brotherhood and what you do, what kind of reactions are you getting? What kind of questions are people asking you?
I think a lot of people are sort of interested in what we do, especially with workplace stuff, because I think a lot of people are actually going, they can relate to it. Actually, the things we're telling them. And they go, actually, yeah, that we know people that, that feel that, or themselves going, oh, actually, yeah, that, that is a bit of me. So I think it's all been positive within the networking events. And I think it's just that next step of actually, what can we do to work together with a lot of companies or a lot of businesses? So I think it's okay having that initial chats. But at the end of the day, that's why you network, because you want to have that outcome as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So what kind of networking events are you going to?
So we've been to the, obviously the one I met you at Humberside Airport.
Yeah, that was the Chamber of Commerce, wasn't it?
Yeah. So we've really been to the low level ones recently, them sort of ones. I think Tristan has been to a few charity ones as well. Mm-hmm. That I think it's the hospice within Scunthorpe.
Yeah.
That he went to. So I think there's definitely more we need to do around networking, to sort of meet people, actually have them engagements.
So what do you hope to get from your networking efforts?
I think just have that sort of interest in what we do. Even if we don't work together, it's just getting our name out and going, actually, yeah. I'd like to see how they do in a few years. And on the flip side, it's like, who can we meet that we're interested in? Like, potentially we can meet people that go, actually, I really like what you do there. Like, yeah. Or maybe we can take things from it, or potentially do a bit of collaboration, and just sort of go, for myself to be interested in what other people are doing and what other people are doing well. I think within the networking, I think the conversations I have, I try not to speak too much about business. It's about actually what does a day-to-day life look like? How's it going? And then sort of that secondary conversation can be, all right, what are you here for? Because I think a few networking events I've been to where they're not sort of fit me, where they've just gone, all right, straight away business, where it's, this is what I'm doing, this is what I want. And it's actually going, oh, I know you're here just for that. Whereas I think when we go to networking events, we're all about actually meeting people, about what can they offer, not in just a business terms, and actually conversational. I think you've actually got to know the person first. For me, I'd only do business with someone if I knew them.
Yeah.
And if I have that relationship with them. So it's about building that relationship to start with.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you see networking being part of your outreach, I suppose, sort of in going forwards? You're going to keep doing it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've got a few lined up. I think we was meant to be onto a bigger one in Coventry in a few weeks' time, just to sort of go on a bigger scale, what is going on. I think Lincolnshire is always important to me. So I think Lincolnshire is always really good networking events to go to, because ultimately there's going to be local businesses that you can actually keep tabs on about how they're doing. Whereas if they're further afield, it's going to be quite hard. There's not that relation there.
So finally then, Blake, if people want to know more about Brotherhood UK, what is the best place for them to find you and interact?
So our website is www.brotherhood/uk.com. We're also on social media, Instagram, which is brotherhoodukk. So I'd just say check out our social media. Our website's got a lot of information on, and we're always there for a chat. Even if it's not business related, we're always there to have that chat.
Lovely. Well, thank you very much. And I've enjoyed talking to you, and also to listening to the robin who's singing in the background in your garden.
Yeah, well, I like to be in nature, so I like to work outside. I think that's all about the positive environment you work in.
Yeah, good for your mental health, for sure.
Yeah.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Blake.
Brilliant. Cheers. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to Small Business Big Network. If you found this podcast useful, please do rate, review and subscribe. And don't forget to share it with the rest of your network too.